If you have your Bibles, you can text that notes to that number, or you can turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I want to thank the Lindsay family and all the faculty that serve amazingly here. I want to thank you for your decades of faithfulness. It's amazing. It's amazing. I've traveled the world over the last 10 years, and all over the world, I meet alumni from Christ for the Nations. And they're literally around the world impacting, bringing the gospel all over the world. It's absolutely incredible. My brother-in-law is with me tonight, Skyler. He came to CF and I in early 2000s. Our guitar player, Paul Trimble, he's CF and I alum. So CF and I is in Mercy, and you guys are all over the world. So I just wanted to honor you all. If you're at Luke chapter 15, say amen. Amen. If you need more time, say I never read my Bible. Everybody's there. Verse 11, it says this, then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to him, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. After a few days, the younger son got everything together and journeyed to a distant country where he squandered his wealth in wild living. Someone say wild living. Verse 14, after he spent all he had, a severe famine swept the country. And he began to be in need. And he went and hired himself out as a citizen of the country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his belly with pods from the pigs were eating, but no one would give him a thing. Verse 17, it says, finally, he came to his senses. Someone say senses. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have plenty of food? But here I am starving to death, and I will go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Someone say servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still in the distance, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son. He embraced him and he kissed him. The son declared, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy. Someone say worthy. To be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe to put on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us feast and celebrate. And this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found. So they began to celebrate. The title of this message tonight is The Prodigal Ministry. The prodigal ministry is when you want the father's stuff without the father's heart. Let's pray. We're going to pray now. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you for being in this room. We don't make room for you here. We give you the room. Father, we declare that your word is the highest authority. Holy Spirit, you are the greatest preacher and the greatest communicator. So we ask you to commute with us. Father, I pray right now that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying. Lord, I pray right now the spirit of fear has to go. We declare that there's no spirit that's welcome here but the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we say, have your way in this place. Lord, nobody came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So I say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. You know the story as the story of the prodigal son. But tonight I want to look at this story. I want to look at this holy scripture through the eyes of a prodigal ministry. Luke 15, 13, the Passion Translation says, shortly after, the younger son packed up all his belongings and traveled off to see the world. He journeyed to a far-off land where he soon wasted all that he was given. He wasted all of the ministry that he had taken. And he binged on extravagant reckless living. I love what the message says. The message says this. It says, he was undisciplined, so he wasted everything he had. I came tonight to plead with you to not waste everything you have. To not waste your ministry. To not waste your future. Please, I came to beg with you tonight. Don't spend 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years chasing the Father's stuff without the Father's heart. 3 weeks ago, I was at Sons of Liberty Coffee, and I'm in the middle of this meeting, and I'm talking with this guy, and I'm having this conversation with him, and he's talking about God, but he's talking about his relationship with God through the eyes of ministry. And he kept doing it. I kept bringing it back to you. Well, what's the Lord speaking to you? And what's the Lord saying to you? What is the Father saying? What's happening? And tell me about your prayer life. Tell me about the secret place. Tell me about your daily encounters. And every time I talked about intimacy, he talked about ministry. And at Mercy Culture, we say this phrase, we say lean into awkward. And what that really means is you move away from fake into authentic for a real relationship. And I said, I'm just going to lean into you for a second. I said, you keep talking about ministry when I'm trying to talk about intimacy. I said, I think you're confused that your relationship with God is your ministry. And the moment it came out of my mouth, I heard the Holy Spirit said, and preach this at CFNI. Because I have dyslexia and not a photographic memory, I forgot for like a week. I'm like, Lord, what'd you tell me at the coffee table? Tell me again. I forget. I'm sorry. Don't let one word drop to the ground. Wait, tell me again. And finally he told me, I'm like, yes. All right, let's go. I haven't preached this all over the country. I didn't preach this at Mercy Culture. I preached on Jezebel at Mercy Culture on Sunday. This isn't my best canned word or sermon. I don't have all of the jokes tied into this and hope to make you laugh and dance and shout and run around the building. I just came to it tonight with the word, do not be the prodigal minister. Don't spend 2-3 years here and leave and hijack ministry. Don't stand here for the next 2 years chasing the Father's stuff, chasing followers, chasing influence. My spiritual father, John Paul Jackson, used to say to me, the worst thing that can happen to a young minister is success before he's ready for it. You're after a stage without the character to stay on it. And the truth is, if a lot of young ministers got on the stages that they saw it, it would actually expose them, not reveal them. What is the prodigal minister? The prodigal minister is the minister that serves itself and not others. The prodigal minister, or ministry, is the minister that puts ministry in front of the people, because the people are here to serve you. You're not really there to serve them. The prodigal ministry is a person who loves the concept of ministering, but doesn't actually love the people that they're ministering to. The prodigal ministry wants the crowds, but ignores the people in the crowds. The prodigal ministry is the minister who wants what someone else has, but they've never done what someone else has done. You are looking for the fast track to ministry. And the last thing in your vocabulary is the word servant. Can I help you? You're not a prophet. Change your Facebook. How do you know if someone's not a prophet? They have to tell you. Jesus was at the well with a woman. He told her her past and declared over her future. And she said, I see you're a prophet. You don't need a business card to declare you're a prophet. In fact, when my Facebook followers get full, I just go through and delete all the apostles and the prophets. I don't need any prodigal ministries just blocking up my feed.
You don't have to introduce yourself with a title. When you're authentic, spirit-filled, full of the Holy Ghost.
Ah. See, the problem with a lot of college students is you want to prophesy here instead of prophesy out there. People say all the time, we don't like parking lot prophets. At Mercy Culture, we do. You better not be wrong, though, because folk will call you out. We want to encourage people. You hear God, go do it in the department store. You want to hear God, do it in the grocery store. Man, I remember when I first started asking God, when I was 18 years old, I became obsessed with hearing the voice of God. I started every day, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Spending time with him, learning to hear the voice. And I'd go and lock myself away, and I knew four notes on the piano. Man, I wish I could play like these guys. I knew four notes to an old Delirious song. If you're over 30, you might know who Delirious is. They were a British band before worship music was cool. And I knew four notes, and I'd go and worship these four notes, and I'd spend hours every Friday night. I wasn't cool. I didn't have friends. I wasn't popular. I didn't have a girlfriend. I was alone in a choir room for years. Crying out. Learning how to hear the voice of God. And I would have all night Friday night with the Lord, and I would hear nothing. Crickets. Nothing. But then I'd have one event to go to. I'd be late. I'm driving to go to the beach to play volleyball with my friends. And I'd hear the Holy Spirit, go pray for that person. No. No. I gave you Friday night. We had hours together. I found this, that the Lord only spoke to me when I didn't want him to. When it wasn't convenient. And that's how I knew God was speaking to me. Learning how to be in his presence. You know where my ministry started? I vacuumed the church. And then I mowed the lawns of the church. I grew up in Seattle. I'd mow the lawn, and then my dad would tell me, you did a bad job. And I'll say, it's raining out. It's Seattle. It just rains here all the time. He'd say, do it again. Clean in the pulpit of the church. Clean in the toilets of the church. That's where my ministry began. If your ministry begins on Instagram, it might be prodigal before it even started. I know you want to tell everybody what God told you on a daily basis, but here's the thing, is we're called to be servants, not celebrities. See, there's a problem in this culture, though, is because we have too many celebrity preachers. People ask me all the time on my Tuesday Q&A, they're like, do you think there's celebrities in church and we've made celebrities and work? Yes, yes, yes. I'm sick of answering the stinking question. Yes, we've made celebrities about everything and anything there is to be worshiped to, or that we can give worship to or honor to, because we have no relationship with the Father. We have to find relationship with the Father through something else or somebody else. We've created this new Christianity, this new identity. It's not with Jesus, it's with someone else's Jesus. We've created this celebrity culture instead of a servant culture. In fact, Jesus never talked about celebrities. He always talked about servants. Isn't it interesting that he himself took the form of a servant? Do you remember Mary? Mary wasn't flaunting her singing career. She was pure and faithful before the Lord. And an angel came to her and said, I'm going to impregnate you. You're going to be impregnated with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that meant? It meant that she would look bad, not look good. Because she wasn't married yet. In fact, it almost cost her the relationship with Joseph. Joseph was about to chuck the deuce because she showed up pregnant. Come on, don't lie. Could you imagine if you showed up and your girlfriend's like, hey, just want to let you know, it's not yours. But it's good, because it's God's. Joseph had so much integrity, he was going to divorce her discreetly. Till an angel had to stop him. Watch, and then what did she say to the angel? She said, be it unto me, I'm a bondservant. I know our Catholic friends try to worship her, but she said, I'm a servant, not a celebrity.
She said, I'm a servant. I'm a bond servant. Whatever place you need to put me in, whatever you need me to carry, whatever you need me to go through, whatever relationships I have to lose, whatever I have to put on the line, I am a servant.
But that's nothing compared to Jesus coming down. He's God. But he puts on this flesh and he becomes a servant. He didn't come down as God.
Wow.
He didn't even try to look like you're looking. He came as a servant. And let me just say this for a second. He didn't even start his ministry till he was 30. What are you stressing about? You are 24 years old. Would you please chill out? God didn't start his ministry till he's 30. What are you freaking out about? Not only that, but theologians believe he spent 2/3 of his ministry in prayer. Do you read this text? No, do you read the text or do you just read Instagram posts about the text? Do you read the text? If you read the text, he went away to the other side and he was praying. He was off by himself. Jesus snuck away to the other side of the lake. He was always off in prayer. It says the Holy Spirit led him in the wilderness to be tempted. When was the last time you started a fast and your pastor didn't call it? Pastor, fasting's not for me. Who's it for then? Only the ones that pray in the Holy Ghost? There's no scripture that says it wasn't for you. My doctor said it's not best for me. So you're going to let a doctor that prays to a statue in front of fruit. He prays to a statue with funny smelling incense and fruit. Tell you how to spiritually be disciplined. Yeah, but he just said, I got high cholesterol. Wow. Wow. It's amazing when Esther called a nationwide fast, it said all Israel didn't eat or didn't drink for 3 days, except the people that have a hard time fasting. You hate the lunch food so bad, I got good news for you. Don't eat it. Stop eating. This should be a season of consecration. There should be a season of setting apart. There should be a season unto the Lord. Quit looking for a wife and start being the bride. Quit getting distracted by all the things going on in your life right now. Come on, sit down. Would you quit arguing over that awful food about grace and judgment? Newsflash, you're not a scholar yet. But it's always great when a 22-year-old rebukes you. It's quiet in here. People have been calling grace the wrong thing for years. They're actually, that's why we call it our church mercy culture. They're actually accredited to grace what is actually mercy. Grace can be grieved. Grace can be lifted. But mercy endures forever. Psalms 136, give thanks to the Lord of Lords. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give praise to the God of Gods. His mercy endures forever. Do you know that mercy never runs out? His mercies are new every morning. His goal great is his faithfulness. His mercy endures. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive what? Mercy. Mercy is the forgiveness of sin. Grace is the empowerment to overcome any sin. This is the season you should be fasting. This is the season you should be alone with God. Don't worry about making friends here. You don't need friends. You need the Holy Spirit. He'll be your best friend. He'll talk to you. He'll keep you. He'll comfort you. You need to learn how to hear his voice. If you're an international student, don't worry about fitting in. You're going home anyway. Don't worry about blending in. Get alone with the Father. This is a short period of time that you have to find the heart of a father, not his stuff. In fact, I would warn you not to emulate ministries in America. There's a whole lot about the stuff and not enough about the presence. We're going to give the Lord just, we're going to give him a lot of time today. We're going to give him a minute and 45 seconds. And then get out, because our service is 32 minutes long. This is a season to wait. This is a season to linger. This is a season to get to know his voice. This is a season to fall in love, not find your wife, to fall in love with the King. This is the season. I promise you, if you're about your Father's business, he'll bring everything that you need. I get this question all the time on Tuesday Q&A. They're like, is there a one? Because a really celebrity preacher told me there wasn't a one. Well, it's interesting because scripture says, go to the well, ask for a drink, and that will be the one I've selected for my servant Isaac. God put one in the garden. Her name was Eve. I went on one date with my wife. She thought her mom put us on a date because I was a youth pastor going to help her. She told me she used to be addicted to drugs. Told me all the guys that she had been with. Told me everything that she'd done in life. Exposed absolutely everything. And she thought that was the first and last date. I went home from that date and the Holy Spirit, she said, she's your wife. Disciple her for 2 years and then marry her. So I discipled her for 2 years and now she's been discipling me ever since. This is a season to be a servant. I came to ask you, who are you serving besides yourself? What are you doing here if you're missing classes? Go get your accounting degree. What are you doing here? Get out of the way. Quit playing games. What are you doing here if you're not in that prayer room? Why are you in this school? You're in this school because there's oil here. You're in this school because the presence is here. Find the Father's heart. Don't be consumed with the Father's things. Don't be consumed with his stuff. Don't be consumed with his ring. Don't be consumed with the robe. Don't be consumed with the preachers in their sneakers. Mine are Zara. I got them for $30. Post it. You're consumed with the stuff, with the followers, with the accolades. And oh, do you see what they're driving now? And oh, do you see where you went? And oh, do you see how they, oh, isn't that cool? And so you're fascinated with somebody else's highlight reel. Instead of pursuing the heart of the Father. Are you pursuing the Father's heart? Are you pursuing his stuff? The prodigal ministry was pursuing his stuff. God's called us to be servants, not celebrities. There's this young man that reached out to me. Guys do this on a regular basis. I used to do a lot more. Now I'm discipling and mentoring a church. But he reached out to me and he's like, hey, I'd really like to come serve you sometime. I'd really like to, you know, go on a trip with you and hold your Bible and I'd really like to serve you. I was like, great, I'm gonna be ministering here. It's a 3-hour drive from where you are. Drive and meet me there. He's like, oh, it's a little too much gas money. Then drive by faith, homie. Oh, what you really meant was you wanted a plane ticket and a selfie, and you wanted the appearance of doing ministry together. You don't want to drive out to Timbuktu and preach to 12 kids in a youth conference, a youth camp. You don't want to go to the places that aren't cool, where there's no honorariums, where there's no accolades, where the gift is barely dinner, where you barely get your gas money to go home. Oh, what you mean is you want to be a celebrity, not a servant. You're good, dude. Just keep buying followers. Wait long enough. Nobody will really notice. You got 27,000 followers and 4 likes. I get it. Woo! You're a prodigal ministry. That's what you are. You're after the stuff. You're hoping nobody notice. We all notice, dude. We all notice. It's a prodigal ministry. And you've lost it even before it began. The Father is looking for servants. He's looking for people that don't need to be seen. Where it doesn't matter if your pastor notices you. If your pastor knows your name. There's hundreds of people that are going to Mercy Culture in 4 months. I don't know everybody's name. I'm sorry. I spend majority of my time alone with the Lord, praying for the church, praying for God to move, being with the Father, and then I come out and minister. That's my job, not to know your name. No, hear this. But if you're going to get offended that nobody knows your name or that nobody's patting you on the back, what are you there for? Galatians says, am I trying to win the approval of men or of Christ? If I'm trying to please men, I'm not even a servant of Christ. Here's my question, Sif and I. Where are you serving? No. Where are you serving? Who are you serving besides yourself? I didn't come to dance for you tonight. I didn't come to entertain you tonight. I didn't come to tickle your ear tonight. The Lord interrupted my coffee and said, preach this word at Christ for the Nations, because I believe that there is greatness in this room if you don't get distracted by robes and rings. If you don't get distracted by the stuff, if you don't get distracted by the hype, you want me to help you in ministry? Can I give you some advice? Go off social media for the next year. Like, well, what about my influence? You don't really have any. What about my ministry? That's not one. Why don't you go get alone with God and get something to say? I came to plead with you tonight because I believe there's a call of God on your life. I believe there's greatness on you if you chase the right thing. But what would happen if 10 years went by and you realize the entire time you've been chasing the wrong thing? Who are you serving? Samuel was serving Eli, who was a weak priest who almost lost his anointing. Eli's house was corrupt. He couldn't bring order to his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were giving fake words to manipulate people for money. They were sleeping with women in the church, and Eli refused to govern his own house. So God stopped speaking to Eli and started speaking to a little boy named Samuel. Samuel wasn't after, 1 Samuel chapter 3, he wasn't after Eli's ring. He wasn't after Eli's robe. He had his own. And in fact, the Bible says that every year his mama would come to the house of the Lord and she would put a new robe on him. One that fit. You can't be chasing robes and someone's mantle that you follow on social media that doesn't fit you.
It's quiet in this church.
Come on, I thought this was a charismatic, spirit-filled school. Here's the thing, watch. She got him a new robe every year. Do you know why? Because you should be growing. If you're wearing the same robe in year 3 that you wore in year 1, something's wrong. We got a 6-month-old son. And every month we bring him to the doctor. And they do 2 things. They weigh him and they measure him. And they want to see if he's growing. And every time, yep, he gained this amount of weight. Yep, he grew this long. Yep, it's the checkups. But if years go by and he's the same weight,
and the same size, it tells us that something is wrong with his DNA. Something is wrong with his body. If you are at the same place now than you were 5 years ago, 2 years ago, watch this, last year.
Are you growing? Are you wearing the coat that fits? Let me show you a scripture. You all know it. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse 6. Says this, when they came, he looked at Eliab. This is Samuel, who I was just talking about, became the prophet. When he came, he took one look at Eliab and thought, surely he's the Lord's anointed. This is prophet Samuel. God just tore the anointing from Saul. People say, can you lose your anointing? You definitely can lose mantles. Ask King Saul. You definitely can lose strength. Ask Samson. His anointing was torn. The mantle was torn. And God said, I'm giving it to someone who's better than you. So God instructs the prophet Samuel, who was a little boy who learned how to say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And now he's going to the house of Jesse to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king. And here's what the scripture says, that Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely he's the Lord's anointed. Man, it's so important that you don't think, you learn to hear. I think it's a good idea that I marry this person. No, 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 no. Hear. I think it's a good idea if I go do this ministry. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hear. We do this all the time. We love calling people false prophets. Google my name. You'll see a bunch of websites. False prophets. He's a false prophet. See, we've confused false prophets with immature prophets. False prophets are those that intend to deceive. An immature prophet is those that get it wrong. And we need to create safe places for people to get it wrong. We don't stand up when a worship leader flubs on the words and be like, false worship leader! Deceiver! Or you're in your preaching class and someone misquotes or mispronounces Mephibosheth and you're like, false teacher! No, they're first year students, relax. But what's the thing? He took one look and thought. You know, that's good news, because if one of the greatest prophets who walked the face of the earth can get it wrong, it means so can you and I. Watch, the Lord corrected him because then he heard. Look at the text. It says, here's what he said. He said, man looks at the followers. Man looks at the social media. Man looks at the persona. But the Lord looks, read it, at the heart. This is what the Father looks at. Man, I came to get your heart tonight. This is what the Father is looking at. You know what the truth is? You can't buy anointing, as Simon the sorcerer. You can't buy a mantle. You can buy a following. You can manufacture a following. But guess what? When you run into some demons, you're going to have the stuff beat out of you like the seven sons of Sceva. I promise you, this is what you can't buy. You cannot buy the Father's heart. You can only win it. And you win it by serving it. So Samuel goes down the line, you know the story. And there's one after another, all the brothers, over and over. God says, no, it's not him, no, it's not him, no, it's not him, no, it's not him. And he turns to Jesse and he says, is there anyone else? The Lord sent me to your house. Are these all of your sons? And his dad said, oh yeah. David.
is tending the sheep. Watch. Serving.
Why everybody else did some push-ups before Samuel got there. Like you and your Saturday night date. Why everybody else is flaunting their resume. Samuel is serving. Isn't it interesting that all of them were afraid of a giant? Because none of them faced a lion or bear roar. See, you're always afraid of a giant's roar if you don't deal with roars in secret places. If you don't deal with roars in private, watch. He's out with the sheep. You know what God calls us? Sheep. He was taking care of his father's business. This is my alarm to wrap it up. He was taking care of his father's business. Alone in a field. Serving is when he learned how to worship. It's where he learned how to fight. It's where he learned how to pray. It's where he learned intimacy. Listen, you don't learn it. You don't learn it by watching YouTube. You learn it alone with the Father. Do you know how you learn intimacy? With intimacy. I gotta hurry. I'm out of time. Three things. Look at this. Did I tell you that David had bad spiritual fathers? No. Who are you complaining about again? Because he had Jesse, the dad that forgot about him, and Saul, the king that threw spears at him. He had jealous, Jezebelic Saul as a spiritual father. And he still served. Huh. Can I tell you who the best sons are? The best sons are the servants. You know who I'm looking for as a senior pastor? I'm looking for the ones that don't have to be asked, but just serve. I'm looking for the ones that are at 6:30 prayer, praying where I'm praying. If you're not getting up earlier than me to pray, you're never touching a microphone. No, we're looking for the places to be seen. We're professional seers when we need to be hidden. You want a ministry? Go hide till God drags you out of a desert with a prophet. You want a ministry? Go hide. Go be alone with him. Go serve where no one can see you. Go do what no one else will do. Serve like crazy. That's how you become a spiritual son. I gotta close. Listen. He wanted to leave. I'll come back sometime, I promise. He wanted to leave. The prodigal son said, give me my inheritance. What did he want? He wanted the robe. He wanted the ring. He wanted the sandals. Robe, ring, and sandals. What does the robe represent? The robe represents a mantle. He wanted a mantle. Let me tell you this, and I want to shatter some of your dreams, but you're not spiritually fathered on social media. Some of you are looking for a celebrity spiritual father when you just need a present spiritual father. What I found is everybody wants a spiritual father, but not everybody wants to be a son. Not everybody wants to really serve. Number two is the ring. A ring stands for authority. Do you know how you get authority? By being under it. I think somewhere along the line, you believe the lie that the amount of followers you have creates an influence. But influence with no substance is useless. Your authority comes from fighting in the secret place. Your authority comes from sacrifice. Your authority comes from consecration.
What if I just drink in moderation? Don't you think you should drink? Teach moderation? No, I'm going to teach consecration. I want to teach you how to be set apart. I want to teach you how to live above reproach. I want to teach you how to go get alone with God.
Number three, the sandals. The sandals represented intimacy. Worship team, could you come back up? See, if you do not have intimacy with the Father, intimacy will become perverted. And then you become intimate with the world. You cannot be intimate with the world and intimate with the Father at the same time. Can I just be a big brother to you? Can I be a father to some of you? Until you win in the secret place in your dorm room at night on that computer, you'll be a prodigal ministry. Don't you dare step on any platform until you're winning in private. You say, Leda, that sounds harsh. No, no, no. What's harsh is going up against demons you don't have authority over. Any song you want to do, guys. Listen, here's the thing. The prodigal son left just after the father's stuff. But the Bible says that he came to his senses. My heart's cry, if my team can start bringing this stuff out. My heart's cry was that you would come to your senses before you lost everything. My heart's cry was that you would come to your senses. Watch me, look at me, look at me. Before you went away and wasted on wild living, on selfishness. My prayer tonight for you has been that you would come to your senses. That you would realize ministry's not about you. It's about people. And I want to detour you from going after the Father's stuff. That some of you would find the Father's heart. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place? Do you have the Father's heart? Do you have the Father's heart? Do you have the Father's heart? Just start praying in the Holy Ghost all over this place. If you have a prayer language, do you have the Father's heart? A little louder, pray in the Holy Ghost. Do you have the Father's heart? Do you have the Father's heart? Do you have the Father's heart? A little louder, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, close your eyes and pray in the Holy Ghost. Do you have the Father's heart? Come on, would you just for the next minute, would you just search your heart? Is the Father's heart there? Is the Father's heart in it? Is the Father's heart there? Come on, close your eyes tight. Come on, go into the secret place right now. Do you have the Father's heart? I'm not going to prophesy in tongues, but I'm going to use my prayer language. This isn't out of order. I'm not prophesying in tongues. This is a prayer meeting. This is a gathering of believers. Come on. Come on. Use your prayer language right now all over this place. If you're watching online, use your prayer language. Come on, use your prayer language. Come on, go into the secret place. If you don't have one, ask for one right now. Father, would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? Would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? Come on, go, go, go. Come on, dig a well. Dig a well. Dig a well. Dig a well. Dig a well right now. Here's what the prodigal son said. He said, when he came to
to his senses. He said, I'm going to go back to my father, but this time not as a son, but as a servant. I'm not coming to him. Watch this. I feel the Holy Ghost. When you come back to ministry, you're coming as a servant. John the Baptist said, there's one who's coming, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. The greatest example of a servant we have is Jesus. And Jesus says, no one's washing my feet, I'm washing yours. He was the greatest example of a servant. Skylar, come sit in that chair. Go sit in a 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 chair. Would you go sit in a chair? 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 Bro, would you go sit in a chair? Darling, would you come sit in a chair? Darling, would you come sit in a chair? Tap that girl right there. Would you go sit in a chair? Seth, go sit in a chair. Come sit in a chair. Come sit in a chair. Bro, would you go sit in a chair? Darling, would you come sit in a chair? Yep. Come sit on the stage. Come sit in front of one of these. Darling, would you go sit in a chair? Sit right there. Ma'am, would you sit right there? Tap that guy right there. Go sit in front of a bucket. Would you come? Yeah, come on, come on. You, come some. Would you come? Would you come sit? Would you come sit? Bro, would you come sit? Dreads, would you come sit? Go sit, Levi. Go sit. Would you go sit? Bro, would you go sit? Who are you serving? What church are you serving? What ministry are you serving? Are you just serving yourself? Or are you serving? Because how you get the sonship is by serving. I was praying for tonight, and I saw a vision of us washing each other's feet, washing strangers' feet. Not for a robe, not for a ring, not for sandals, but just for the Father's heart. Jesus came as a servant to capture the Father's heart. Nothing captures the Father's heart like someone just serving. That's why he said this, the greatest. Hear my words, Seth and I. The greatest is the servant. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to start first washing. And then I want you to randomly come wash a stranger's feet.
wash someone that you don't know. Hold on. I want you to pray over them.
You ready to prophesy? We're not on the internet now. I want you to prophesy over them now. Release the Father's heart over them now. Say, I'm not trained in prophetic ministry. I didn't take the class. Holy Spirit, fill them. There you go. Now watch. The moment someone washes your feet, I want you to go get some other stranger and you wash theirs. Father, I pray right now that you would hear from heaven. You would hear our prayers. Lord, I pray right now the spirit of humility to fall in this place. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name. I pray right now in Jesus' name, Father, let the spirit of humility fall in this house. Let it fall on this school. I got this picture right now that all year long we're going to be washing people's feet. All year long we're going to be serving each other. All year long we're going to see the Father's heart on display through His sons and daughters. Come on, Jasmine, the service is yours. Lead.